Let me just say a few things about the hearing we had yesterday on the spill in the Gulf, the disaster down there with the offshore drilling rig. We had two panels of witnesses, so we had two experts, and then we had the representatives from the three companies that are most involved in the incident, and that is BP, and then Transocean, that was operating the drilling rig, and then Halliburton, that was a servicing company helping primarily with the cementing of the well. So that the testimony was inconclusive. It was clear that we are beginning to flush out some of the specific questions about what caused this to occur, where the mistakes were made, where the failures occurred in the technology, and where the deficiencies were in the regulatory scheme that was in place. I think that it's going to become obvious, if it hasn't already, that there were problems in all three areas, in the technology that was being used, in the human activity that occurred in the use of that technology, and then also in the inadequate regulation that had been imposed by the Minerals Management Service on the drill operation. So we began to get into that. As I say, we didn't get any definitive answers, but we're planning to have another hearing this next Tuesday with Secretary Salazar others from the Department of Interior there to try to answer some of our additional questions. So let me stop with that and start with Jim, I guess. Go ahead. Any questions you have?
Okay, Senator, thanks. And I just want to follow up on the phrase that you used, inadequate regulation, when talking about the MMS. The MMS is tasked with kind of a dual role. One is to partner with some of these large corporations who do this drilling to get revenue for the United States. And the other is, of course, to regulate those companies. In the conversations that you've been having so far about this disaster in the Gulf, what's been coming up in terms of ways to better address that that dual role of MMS and separate it or make it more accountable?
Well, of course, Secretary Salazar yesterday announced that he was proposing that we divide MMS into two different units. One would focus on the leasing activities and the getting of revenue for the government for the leasing offshore. The other would focus on safety, and clearly, to my mind, that would make good sense. I think other countries have made that same kind of decision as to how they would want to try to regulate offshore drilling. So I would favor that proposal as a general matter. I do think that in the area of the safety provisions, we had testimony yesterday from a former key official in the MMS suggesting 10 different ways in which he thought the regulations could be strengthened, the oversight of the MMS could be improved, the procedures followed by the Department of Interior and the MMS could be revised to ensure that best practices were being followed. So all of those, I think, are things we're going to ask Secretary Salazar about next week.
What's your understanding so far of the severity of this spill? Just based on some of the things that you've been hearing, how bad do you think this could get in the end?
Well, obviously, it's a disaster for the Gulf region, and the damage to the ecology there in the Gulf is significant already and could get substantially worse depending upon how long it takes to finally cut off the leaking and spilling of this oil that is occurring. So we'll just have to wait and see how long it's going to take BP to get this situation under control. They're, I know, trying a variety of steps to get it done, but so far nothing's worked.
Is this changing your mind at all about the idea of offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, it certainly persuaded me that we need to go back and ensure that there are ways to safely do this kind of drilling, and that those ways have been implemented and put in place and are being followed. I think understanding what went wrong here in this circumstance is the beginning point for that.
You would support the new drilling in the Gulf if those things were to happen?
Well, if we can be persuaded that the new drilling would be accomplished in a way that was safe and that was not going to cause additional spills, then certainly I'd be interested in entertaining that. But I think the Secretary's done the right thing by suspending additional drilling for the time being, and we want to hear from him as to how long he wants to continue with that.
Okay, thanks.
Bill, did you have questions?
Yes. Clarify for me, please. Did he suspend drilling or new permits? The Interior Secretary.
Yeah, I thought that he suspended drilling for a three-week period, but let me check that and get back to you. I could be wrong on that.
Well, as to the hearing overall and the whole incident, in the same way that it's too late after the horse is out of the barn, now that the oil is out of the hole, does it really matter who was most at fault? Can this ever be a safe enterprise?
Well, I think it can be a safe enterprise, we're going to have to change some significant things to ensure that it's a safe enterprise, and we don't yet know enough to define exactly what those changes are. That would be my take on it. It's possible that we would get further down the road and decide that there's too much risk involved no matter what we do, in which case we would not want to pursue additional drilling of this type.
Well, that's the question. Even as airplanes, even with tough regulations, fall out of the sky on occasion, they're not immune and they're not 100% guaranteed. Is it ever a good idea to drill inside a food supply and a resource like the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, I think the truth is there is drilling and there has been drilling for several decades now in the outer continental shelf and in deep water areas worldwide. There's a record of this being done. In all but a few cases, it has been done properly and without significant damage to the environment. In this case, obviously, there is significant damage to the environment, and there were not adequate backup precautions for preventing that. So we need to figure out, can you do the drilling without risk of this kind of accident or disaster in the future? To the extent that there is a risk, can you minimize that and compensate for that? And those are the questions we don't have answers to yet.
Okay, I'll pass.
Okay. Jim, did you have another question?
I do, Senator, and I guess it surrounds how to get to a point where there's money available for these kinds of things to help states in particular recover from them, and we know that there are things that are happening now along the Gulf Coast that states are having to respond to very quickly. Many of those states are in financial dire straits already. There's been a number of different proposals in terms of setting up funds, essentially, for these kinds of things and companies paying money into these funds. Can you tell me what you support at this point in terms of that kind of idea?
Well, we already have in legislation, in the law today, fund, which is paid into on a per barrel basis. I think just a few cents per barrel. I think 8 cents per barrel now. That is then available to use to deal with any kind of a problem that occurs of this type. I think there's general consensus that that is way too small a fee that is being charged to companies to guard against or to prepare for this kind of problem. So there will undoubtedly be legislation that the Congress considers this year to significantly increase that fee. So that's one step. Obviously, there also is a need to look again at the law that imposes liability upon companies for damage that they might cause is in connection with their drilling. There's a statutory limit on the amount of the damages they are liable for now. And BP, that's a $75 million limit. BP has said that they are not going to in any way try to claim that as a basis for not providing compensation and reimbursing for damages. But we need to go back and change the law to raise that as well to a much more reasonable level. So there are various other things that we're going to have to look at in the future to be sure that we're better prepared for this kind of situation.
Well, can I ask you for maybe some specifics in terms of what you would support in the numbers when we're talking about cents per barrel for this fund, and then when we're talking about statutory limits on damages specifically?
Well, I don't know the answer to that yet. We're going to undoubtedly want to talk to some people and see what kind of dollars are generated if the fee goes to 25 cents, if the fee goes to a dollar per barrel, what is the right level? I don't know the answer to that. The same thing on the liability issue. I guess my thought is that to the extent that there is liability that can be established in a court of law for damages that have occurred, I don't know why we're really trying to limit the amount by statute. I think it's more appropriate if the courts are going to impose liability upon a particular company that they set the amount of that liability.
I've heard concerns expressed that these companies like BP will take these costs and essentially pass most of them along, or if not all of them, to consumers. How is there a way to address that?
Well, I think BP is in the business, at least one of their main businesses, is selling gasoline to people. And the price of gasoline that they sell is in competition with the price of gasoline that other companies sell. And to the extent that we are properly enforcing our antitrust laws, then they're not getting together and agreeing upon to not compete in that area. So I think BP is limited in what it can charge for gasoline based on what others are charging, and every other company is subject to that same limit.
Okay.
Bill, did you have another?
I do. One more. New Mexico is looking at its own oil spill. It's 8 million gallons estimated below the surface of the ground on the aquifer underneath Kirtland Air Force Base. They've been at loggerheads for some time as to how fast Kirtland will clean it up. Now they're under a hurry-up order to get it done. It sounds like a pretty expensive thing. Would you support hundreds of millions of dollars extra money for the Air Force to clean that up?
Well, I think clearly the Air Force is responsible for cleaning up that spill, and I will support whatever is determined to be the right level of resources to get that done. Clearly, the aquifer that Albuquerque depends upon is vital to our state and to the city of Albuquerque, and we want to be sure that it's not adversely impacted as a result of failures by the Air Force to properly clean up this spill. I don't know what the numbers are. We are waiting for the Air Force to complete a study that they've been directed to do, as I understand it, by the Environment Department, the state, New Mexico Environment Department. And we want to see that. I believe it's coming out in June.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh.
That's it for me.
Okay. Jim, do you have anything else?
Well, I guess just one final question, Senator, on this situation in the Gulf of Mexico, and some might, I guess, question whether or not, you know, the United States has moved quickly enough on renewable energy investments to be able to pull away from things like offshore drilling. I'd just like to get your thoughts on that. I mean, do you think that this is a result in part of not moving quickly enough to get away from oil?
Well, I think clearly, you know, we should have moved more quickly to reduce our need for fossil fuels, particularly imported fossil fuels, but also those we're producing ourselves, such as that the oil we're producing in the Gulf of Mexico. So I start with that proposition. I don't think, though, that people should believe that we can gear up our use of solar energy, gear up our use of wind energy, and then automatically get off of our need for oil. We are using oil primarily in the transportation sector. There is not a good alternative for that available to us now. We're hoping that electric cars come on the market soon, and that people can choose to use electric cars, which would reduce our need for oil. But until that really is a live possibility for folks, many people are basically dependent upon having to buy oil. The question is, are we going to be buying some of it that we produce ourselves, or are we going to buy it all over from overseas? And we've tried to produce some of it here, which I think is the right thing for us to be doing. But obviously, when we do produce oil, we need to produce it in a safe way.
All right. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you both.
All right.
Bye-bye.